This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ion Football Podcast. It's me, Ryan Wilson, joined by the incomparable John Breach. Hello, Johnny.
Ryan, you know what? Incomparable is my favorite word that people use to describe me. I get it all the time. I'm not going to lie.
That's why I used it, because I couldn't think of a better word, and I knew that it applied to you because I'd heard it used so many times before. So Will Brinson, the other guy who usually is on the show, is in Arizona at the owners' meetings, schmoozing it up, doing Team Brinson things, and as I talk about often on this podcast, that means promoting the Brinson brand. So more power to him. So it's John, who, as I've said previously, I sort of like better. So that works out perfectly. As always, when we have John on, we like to talk about your boy, Red Romo, Andy Dalton. And I bring that up for a couple of reasons. One, at the owners' meetings, Marvin was asked about Andy. And it wasn't the first time, and I actually didn't know that he'd said this previously, but today, Mark Sessler for NFL.com tweeted this out. He said he asked Marvin Lewis why the Bengals don't add a quarterback to compete with Dalton. And Marv said, what team in the NFL has had a quarterback competition and it worked? That seems like a weird thing to say, given that Andy Dalton isn't super awesome. Do you think they should bring someone else in besides the guy with that back tattoo from Alabama? What's his name?
AJ McCarron.
Yeah, is he competition, or has Marv just totally dismissed that guy already?
You know, Catherine Webb's husband isn't a terrible football quarterback, but the problem is that he just injured all last season, so they're not really sure what he can do. Now, that being said, I don't think you bring in I think you bring in a veteran, but I don't think you bring him in as competition per se. You know, like,
is that because Red Romo can't take the competition because of his fragile psyche?
You know what? It's funny that Marvin Lewis asked, where does the competition work? Because this is an example I was about to use, was you look at 2012 and how Russell Wilson got his job. He was nowhere. He was so far at the bottom of the depth chart as a rookie, behind Matt Flynn, I think.
Yeah, and they just traded for Matt Flynn that offseason.
And Tavares Jackson. Russell Wilson was number three on the depth chart. Nobody had any thoughts of playing him in 2012. And then he just kind of won the job because he was so much better than Flynn or Jackson.
Would you call it a competition?
No, it was competition between Jackson and Flynn, and then Wilson just kind of forced himself in there. And
I thought you were going to take a shot at Marvin. You're actually sort of supporting Marvin because it wasn't quote unquote a competition. Russell just took the job by the reins.
Well, I'm disagreeing with his thought process, though. I think it would be good to bring a veteran in there. Like, I still think Brian Hoyer would be good. And you tell Brian Hoyer that he's the backup quarterback. But if Brian Hoyer looks better, yeah, exactly, then you boost him up to the starting spot, and boom, you did it without having a competition per se. But I do think they need someone else in there to kind of push Dalton.
That's a great point, that Russell Wilson one, because that is exhibit A for why Marvin's full of crap. What do you think Marvin would have said if you can get into Marvin's head? What would he have said if someone had brought that up to him today after he made the comments about quarterback competitions are stupid?
I think he would have said Russell Wilson's a rookie and nobody saw that coming and blah, 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 which is interesting because the Seahawks are like the same team as the Bengals, where you have this really strong defense. And the only thing the Seahawks had better, I'd say, was a running game, but the Bengals have a better receiving game. And the quarterback has been kind of the difference. So it's like, come on, Marvin, bring a quarterback in, do something.
You know, it's funny. I saw this quote and I said, God, this is ridiculous. And then I searched, I saw the tweet and then I searched for it on the Google machine. And it brought up another comment that Marvin had made back in January before the Super Bowl. And he basically said the same thing because someone asked him, it might've been our buddy, Paul Daner, but anyway, Paul wrote it up in the Cincinnati Inquirer. And someone asked, Marvin after the season was over, if we need to, give Andy some competition. And he basically said, there's no time for that. Why? It's January 22nd. I don't know why you don't have time now. We have no problem with Andy Dalton as our quarterback. We don't have time to waste with another quarterback. I mean, this is something the crazy person says. In January, the season is literally 2 weeks over and you have no time for a quarterback competition. And then again, he said, where has it worked? It doesn't get you wins. Fortunately, somehow I've got the right little thing on my shoulder that says, don't get into a quarterback controversy. So it basically says he's hitching his wagon to Andy Dalton, even though no one else seems comfortable with Andy Dalton. I mean, you and I talk about this every time you're on, because they're like giving Andy Dalton a hard time. But you're an Andy Dalton supporter. Your sister's a huge Andy Dalton supporter. But I don't think you feel 100% confident with Andy Dalton as the leader of this team, right?
If I'm Marvin Lewis, I don't say when does a competition ever work. I say when has a quarterback who has taken his team to four straight postseason appearances ever been benched or ever had to compete for his job? Like, if he wants to use that argument, fine, but you can kind of make use that argument. Use the argument another way so that people aren't sitting there and arguing with you the whole time.
Well, what about this? Mike Brown, the owner, was asked at the owner's meetings if Marvin's going to be coming back, is going to get a new deal. His contract runs through 2015. And he was sort of like hemming and hawing and didn't really answer the question. I mean, we go through this every few years when Marvin's contract comes up, and every year he's like a rash. He just doesn't go away. So is there any reason to think this is the year after taking the team to the playoffs for whatever, four straight years? Even if they go 8-8 or 7-9, I don't even think they won't. But if they do, is there a chance that Marv's gone?
Yeah, I think what you said. I think if they have a losing record, that's the only chance. I mean, it is. Working for the Bengals, working for Mike Brown isn't easy, and that's why Marvin Lewis has been there. It's not going to be easy for a new coach to go in there and kind of replicate what Marvin Lewis has done. It took him 13 years to earn all the power he has in that organization, and it's not something that they're just going to give away to a new coach. So in that sense, it's almost better that Marvin Lewis is in there. But, you know, like you just said, unless he tanks and they do probably 6-10 and worse is the only way I see him gone. Anything better than that, I think he stays. And it's probably almost better off if they don't make the playoffs. If they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs, there's no pressure to win that playoff game. He stays. Whereas if you go to the playoffs for a fifth straight time and don't win a playoff game, that's all anyone's going to talk about. And then you could conceivably not bring him back if you're Mike Brown.
Is it even a good job, though? I mean, Marvin puts up with a lot. I mean, when he got there, they didn't have a huge scouting department. I think their workout facilities were garbage, and he sort of pushed for those things to be expanded and made better, and I think they have been. But at the end of the day, you're tied to Dalton. The defense is good, but, you know, defenses change a lot from year to year depending on who's there, who's not, and, you know, whatever happens in terms of luck. Is that – let's see. A.J. Green's contract's coming up in a couple years. Is that a great job?
I mean, to be honest, I think it's one of the best jobs in the NFL because – you have a good team, and there's no pressure to do anything.
Okay. I guess if you're into low-pressure situations. So it's sort of the opposite of the Browns' job up the street then.
Exactly. You know, if you're a new coach walking into Cincinnati, say in 2016, if you go 8-8, you're not going to get fired. If you go, like, you're not going to get fired. It's just not going to happen. So it's like, and what coach wouldn't want to be in a low-pressure situation where you don't have to worry about getting fired?
Marvin Lewis.
Exactly.
By the way, Mike Brown also said about Andy Dalton pretty much what we've known, but he sort of verbalized it as the owner. Andy's a good quarterback. He's a style of guy who can function best when he has a good group around him. Not a ringing endorsement. He needs that. Maybe he needs it more than some, but they all need it. There's no quarterback that goes out there and has success without good players in the mix. Fair enough. I think Tom Brady might be sort of the lone exception. He's done some pretty good things with some pretty crappy talent around him, but inevitably those Patriots teams don't win it all. But whatever, I take your point, Mr. Brown. And bring that up because Todd Bowles, the new Jets coach, was at media day today, and he was asked about sort of Geno and his role and quarterbacks in general, and it sort of pertains to Andy Dalton too. So listen to this. I'll get your thoughts as it relates to Geno and Dalton, or Geno Dalton as you like to call him.
You'd love to have a great quarterback, but with 32 teams in the league, you're not going to have 32 franchise quarterbacks. That's just fact. I mean, you can name 5, maybe 10 if you want to stretch it in 2 type of tiers, and there are 12 playoff spots. So there's not going to be 12 franchise quarterbacks going to playoffs. There's different ways to skin a cat, so you got to try to win in different ways. You, not that your quarterback is bad. You play with the quarterback you have, and you limit the mistakes. And as long as he's confident in what he's doing and understands and doesn't lose the game and smart with the football, you have a chance to win the ball game. You don't have to win with a franchise quarterback because nobody does it. And every year there are playoff games and playoff teams that don't have franchise quarterbacks. So you have to play team football.
And you know what? I mean, I clown Dalton all the time, but that's exactly what Jay Gruden and Hugh Jackson have done with Dalton to some pretty good success. So is that something that Todd Bowles clearly saw that, but is that something that realistically the Jets can do. Their defense is a million times better than it was last year. Their offense is better with Brandon Marshall. They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, so whether it's him or Geno Smith, is that something the Jets can do? They're not going to win that division, but in terms of getting better, they won four games last year. So could they win eight games this year?
Yeah, I think the Jets can – the offense can almost fall flat on its face and they could still win eight games. The defense looks pretty stacked. And the thing is, we saw how Geno Smith played in that final game when he somehow pitched a perfect game. Like, who thought Geno Smith would ever have a perfect quarterback rating in an NFL game?
2 months after he had a 0.0 against the Chargers and got pulled.
It's unbelievable. So if Geno Smith, all he has to do is find the happy medium between that 0.0 and that perfect game.
That's called Mark Sanchez, by the way, but go ahead.
And boom, two AFC championship games.
So are they the second best team in the division, or does Rex Ryan hold that honor by virtue of the fact that by being Rex Ryan, taking over that great defense of Buffalo, trading $40 billion for LeSean McCoy, and signing Richie Incognito, of course?
You know what's funny? I actually feel like they're the fourth best team in that division. But I kind of see the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets all finishing right around 8-8.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's Joe. I mean, Joe Philbin is literally, his face is an 8-8 face. There's nothing not mediocre about Joe Philbin, the least inspirational person on the planet, who just got an extension through 2016 because in the great wisdom of Stephen, what's his name, the owner, Stephen Ross, he doesn't want Joe Philbin to be a lame duck next year with 1 year left on this deal. Let me tell you something. You could sign him to a lifetime contract and Joe Philbin will be a lame duck. But whatever. I'm not a huge Joe Philbin guy. More importantly than the Geno Smith conversation or the Jets conversation, someone asked, a reporter asked Todd Bowles a question today about having like insane people on the roster and what that means. And just listen to this for me.
You're dealing with 53 type A maniacs in some ways and just trying to balance the personalities in the locker room. How do you, you know, how do you, for lack of a better way of putting it, but how do you...
Sounds like Con Air.
Sounds like Con Air. Is that the best answer ever?
Absolutely. If you can pull a Nicolas Cage movie in and relate that to the NFL in any way, then that answer is automatically correct and awesome.
Automatically correct. God, what was Nick Cage's name in that movie? Where is it? I'm trying to find it. God, Danny Trejo was in that movie. He must have been one of the bad guys. Danny Trejo's never played anything but a bad guy. How can Nick Cage not be the top in terms of the cast? I'm looking at Internet Movie Database. This is unacceptable. There he is. Cameron Poe. No one would ever guess that name. So where does that rank, like Con Air, in terms of the all-time great slash worst Nick Cage movies?
Well, you know, being located out here in the Bay Area, I have to put The Rock at number one.
The Rock with Sean, the great Sean Connery. Okay. It's basically the same movie, just takes place on a rock as opposed to an airplane. Go ahead.
Right. And that's why Con Air is 1B or 1A. And then Face Off. Those are my top
Face
three.
Off. Oh, my God. Holy crap, I saw that movie in a theater for no good reason. One of my favorite, this is like, this is a little bit before your time. One of my favorite movies that used to come on, like when I was in sixth or seventh grade on like Saturday afternoon when you had nothing to do, was Valley Girl. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
1983, he plays like a surfer dude. It takes place in Southern California. And it's about, as you might expect, a Valley Girl, wrong side of the track sort of deal. Sort of Karate Kid without the karate in it. But the soundtrack was actually really good. He looks completely ridiculous. Also, he made a cameo in one of the best 80s movies ever, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Do you remember the scene?
I do not.
Do you know Fast Times? Have you seen it in the last 5 years?
I have not seen the last 5 years, but I have seen it.
Okay. So it's a scene where he walks, I think it was Judge Reinhold was going into the convenience store and it gets held up. Before he gets held up, Sean Penn comes in with no shirt. And maybe Judge was working there at some point. I don't remember the details. I'll tell you how recently I've seen it. But Sean Penn and his buddies, which also happened to be Anthony Hopkins. No, who's the guy from Top Gun and ER? Anthony, that guy. And Nick Cage, they all come in with no shirts on. No shirts, no shoes, no service, whatever the line is. And Nick Cage was in that. That was his scene. I don't know if he had a line or not, but there you go. Nick Cage is also the cousin, nephew of Francis Ford Coppola. Learn all sorts of Nick Cage knowledge.
What about the National Treasure movies? How do you feel about those?
The first one actually wasn't terrible. I don't think I saw anyone after that. Raising Arizona, awesome. That actually was a legitimately good movie. He played Brad's bud was the credit in Fast Times. So there's one other one I was thinking about. Like, he wasn't terrible in guarding tests. Like, he's actually, oh my God, Snake Eyes is another one that fits right into the genre we were just talking about. Just ridiculousness.
I can't believe we forgot Snake Eyes. That's like, yeah, that's embarrassing.
Lord of War was actually a good movie. That was legitimately interesting. But he's also, little known fact, super close with Carrot Top. True story.
I believe it. You know, I'm sure he was filming Con Air in Vegas. Carrot Top was in Vegas. They probably started hanging out and boom, they're best friends.
Yeah, I think he has a place in Vegas. Carrot Top is there all the time because of a show that's going on for 10 years or whatever. And Carrot Top actually said in an interview, I think it was an Esquire piece by Chris Jones, that Nicolas Cage bought him and Carrot Top both white leather jackets that they wear out together because they're in this sort of kind of secret gang, which makes it sound like, and I believe it's true, that Nick Cage is actually weirder than Carrot Top.
Completely possible. I mean, remember, he went bankrupt. Nicolas Cage blew like $40 million and was out of money for like a year and then decided to do three National Treasure. That's why they kept pushing out sequels. That's why they're having another one, just so he doesn't have to live in a closet in Vegas.
And to be fair, he is a National Treasure, so it worked out perfectly. Speaking of National Treasures, your other boy, Bill Belichick, who loves talking to the media, was at the owners' meeting because I'm guessing he has to be. And I'm going to play a series of clips of his answers to questions about Darrell Revis. You can probably guess how they go. So we'll listen to these and then make fun of them.
It's NFL free agency. Players leave teams and go to teams in free agency every year. Like, that's not a big story. It's NFL free agency. We do what we think's best for our football team. I mean, every year's different.
And here's how he answered the rest of the questions.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So, you know, it was an 8-minute clip that they played that I watched. And it was clearer than ever that he just despises having conversations of any sort when he's forced to do so. I mean, people were asking not terrible questions, and he would give the same answer no matter what. He was not interested. He was asked about losing Vince Wilfork, and he said, we released a statement on that, so I'm not going to talk about it. He was asked about who signed with the Giants, Stephen Ridley or Vereen? I can never remember. I can never keep them apart.
Vereen.
Vereen. He was asked about Vereen. He said, go talk to Tom Coughlin about him. So he really, and then he said, I don't know. I think he said 23 times according to Twitter reports. So how do you feel about the number one, Belichick, and his relationship with the media? Number two, is losing Darrell Revis a big deal, or is that division so terrible that it doesn't matter?
I do think it's a big deal. You also lost Brandon Browner on the other side. I think their defense took a bigger hit. I don't think the Vereen thing is going to hurt them too badly. But again, it's like, who is going to take advantage of them losing Browner and Revis? Like EJ Manuel, Geno Smith? I don't think the Patriots are too worried about the division. And that's why I think that the Jets and Bills maybe won't be as good as the Dolphins, just because I don't feel like they're a good matchup with the Patriots. So I think it's going to hurt New England's defense, obviously, but I think they're going to win a division title for the 70th straight year this year.
Although in 2008, they lost it to the Dolphins because of the Wildcat.
And because Tom Brady didn't play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that has something to do with it, too.
Let's not forget that part.
I buried the lead, as they say in the reporting business. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I just remember that Wildcat, that first. Wait, was that the same year?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you're totally right. Because Ronnie Brown played. He was the best quarterback on that team because I think Chad Pennington kept getting hurt in Miami. And, of course, Matt Castle won 11 games and still didn't go to the playoffs. So, yeah. So the conversation is one of the other rumors coming out of the owners' meeting was that Johnny Manziel should be out of rehab at some point and be ready for 2015. I don't know if that's necessarily encouraging news. The coach, Mike Pettine, didn't deny that the team was the other team that wanted to give a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, which sounds crazy until you remember it's the Browns and sounds perfectly normal. Pettine also gave this quote today. People on the outside think we're wandering aimlessly like baby dinosaurs, but we're leaving no stone unturned. I think he mixes metaphors there, but what do you take away from that ridiculous quote?
Baby dinosaurs, it's like, what do we even know about them?
I know, and this is solely from having an 8-year-old, that dinosaurs roamed the earth 250 million to 65 million years ago. Other than that, I know nothing about baby dinosaurs.
But did they really, Ryan? Have you read the Bible?
Or listen to Carl Everett, who I think he doesn't believe in dinosaurs. I believe that was his one of his go-to moves.
You know what? That's I could see that. It's like, how are you supposed to believe in this thing that existed that long ago?
I don't know.
I believe in dinosaurs, for the record.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
The record. Let me make that clear.
I'm typing furiously to see what Carl Everett said about dinosaurs. let's see here. Dinosaur quotes. Oh, my God. What is going on? Carl Everett denies the existence of dinosaurs. There you go. So he, I don't know if he agrees to Mike Pettine about the Browns being not terrible, but he isn't crazy about dinosaurs. He's not sure. Let's see. I'm trying to find the thing. So anyway, keep talking about the Browns' chances. Johnny Manziel, Sam Bradford, while I look up this very important news bit here.
Well, I think with at first, they're not going to be on Hard Knocks, which...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That part of that has to do with Johnny Manziel, too, because of his off-field issues, quote-unquote.
Yeah, and I get that Johnny's coming out of rehab, and you don't want to put him through that. I understand that thought process, but come on. If we're going to entertain America here, the Browns have to be the team on it. And so I'm kind of sorry to see them ruled out. Now, as far as...
They would be infinitely more exciting than the Falcons, which might have been the most boring Hard Knocks ever.
I'm literally speechless at the Falcons Hard Knocks. There was nothing exciting. I didn't even watch it. I think I watched the first two episodes and then just terrible. Said, I can't take this anymore. And you know what I did with my Wednesday nights instead?
I can only imagine. Looked at read books about dinosaurs?
Yes. How'd you know?
And what else did you do?
That was it.
Oh, by the way, great minds think alike. Here's what Carl Everett said about dinosaurs. It sounds like he's paired in your words of wisdom here. Here's what he said. I think this is back in the 90s at some point. Maybe not. I don't know. It's not important. A guy created the sun, the stars, the heavens, and the earth, and then made Adam and Eve. The Bible, as Breach just pointed out, never says anything about dinosaurs. You can't say there were dinosaurs when you never saw them. Somebody actually saw Adam and Eve eating apples. Yeah, it was a snake. Snake can't talk. No one ever saw Tyrannosaurus Rex. End quote. Your move, Breach.
All right, here's my issue with that, is that what does he think these bones are? Does he think like 100 years ago someone went around the earth laying down fake bones to fool us all into thinking dinosaurs
Not
exist?
Not his problem. Not his problem. I don't know. I mean, no one goes to Carl Everett for anything other than, I don't know if they go to Carl Everett for now at all, but I don't think he was ever anyone that you went to for advice about anything outside of baseball. But yeah, he's a good quote. And I like the fact that no one ever saw them other than somebody somewhere saw Adam and Eve eating an apple. So there's that. Now, there's no kind of physical proof of that other than what he read in the Bible. I suppose if the Bible mentioned dinosaurs, then it'd be all set. But I don't know why the Bible is better than any other book, other than the fact that it was written by God. But other than that, why we couldn't have dinosaurs and Adam and Eve, you know, coexist.
Yeah, this is perplexing. If I ever see Carl Everett in public, I'm definitely going to bring this up.
I think that's a good idea. That actually is a great idea. Other great ideas, the Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. That isn't news. That happened last week. And the mayor of Dallas was unhappy about it. Dale Hansen, the crotchety old local sports reporter, went on television and ripped the Cowboys a new one. Goodell, too, just to throw him in there. And then earlier this week, Charlotte Jones Anderson, Jerry's daughter and the executive vice president for the Cowboys, explained why they signed the Greg Hardy. She mentioned nothing about him being a 26-year-old terrific pass rusher, but she did say, quote, "We don't believe in throwing people away. The experts has told us it's far better to provide a way out coupled with educational and rehabilitative services and therapy," end quote. So obviously we know why they signed him. They need a pass rusher. Greg Hardy is very good. It's only a one-year deal. I mean, does it make sense for her to even say anything at all? Or why is she having this conversation? I would just be like, no, we're good. Whatever my dad said, that's what goes. I don't want to get in the middle of this because it's going to make me look terrible.
You know, it's weird. I'm okay with her saying something because I feel like what Hardy did and what he's being accused of are, it's still accused, right? He's not.
Right, that's right. That, yeah. It was, I think, you didn't write this, but our buddy, coworker, Jared Dubin, Cowboys fan, wrote last week that the charges were dismissed and reportedly Well, the charges, first of all, were that Hardy was accused of assaulting and threatening to kill his former girlfriend. And then she decided not to cooperate, so that the charges were dismissed, and reportedly the two settled. So that's where it stands.
So you have, I think it's okay for Charlotte Jones to talk, just because it offers the female perspective, which I think is useful and almost pivotal in a situation like this, where you're bringing in someone who was accused of domestic violence, basically. So, you know, maybe it would have been, I'm okay with her saying something here.
No, that's a good point. And he was never in North Carolina has this weird court system thing where he was convicted of, I don't want to get it wrong here. There are two tiers to the court system. It sounds like he gotten, was he convicted? I don't even know.
I guess he was found guilty, but if you appeal, then you get a jury trial. So maybe there was no something like that.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, he, in the eyes of the law in North Carolina, he is he was found not guilty, or he is not guilty, it was nothing, because she dropped the charges. So it is what it is. I'm just reading here. Let's see. Okay, what about this? Speaking of guys who got in trouble for stuff in the off season. What is Adrian Peterson doing exactly? Why? So the Vikings want to pay him $13 million. Adrian Peterson feels so slighted by the way the Vikings treated him after he beat his 4-year-old bloody that he refuses to play for Minnesota in 2015, according to his agent. I think the problem is that even if the Vikings decide to cut bait and let him go and not pay him the $13 million next year, which is insane for a running back who's 30 years old, where is he going to get that money elsewhere? No one else is going to pay him that money except for maybe Chip Kelly, and he still might do that, which would be hilarious. But what's going on with Adrian Peterson, and why does it seem like he's lost his mind with all this?
Well, I think he's lost his mind because his favorite animal is a camel.
And why do you bring that up?
Well, his birthday party, like, I had a 30th birthday party. I didn't have a camel. I'm just going to say that. Adrian Peterson had a camel. He rode in on a camel. And it's like, where do you even get a camel in America? Do they have camels? Camels don't live here. Do they? They're at zoos. Can you rent a camel?
I guess. Maybe he bought a camel. I know there's an ostrich farm between Phoenix and Tucson, but that's only because I used to live there and drive by it all the time when I was driving up to Phoenix.
They do have camels at the Oakland Zoo here in California, but I don't think I could rent one if I asked.
I bet that Beast Mode could.
Beast Mode definitely could.
And definitely. Apparently Adrian Peterson. So yeah, he rode in on a camel. That was a really weird looking scene. I think you tweeted out a picture of the camel had a handler. Was that who that?
Camel did have a handler.
It's insane. This is what, I think this is the impetus of the problem. It starts with the fact that you think it's okay to get a camel for your 30th birthday and have someone, you know, in charge of walking the camel, leading the camel around. I don't even know where the party was, but, and then
maybe that's why he wants a raise, because he's trying to throw he's having camels at his birthday party.
Camels for everyone. Here's the deal. Like, Adrian Peterson would be awesome for the Vikings next year in terms of helping Teddy Bridgewater's development. They got rid of Craig Jennings, but they have Charles Johnson. Who else? Mike Wallace guy. They need to take some of the pressure off of him, because he's going to be terrible. If he drops two passes, the season's basically over for him. So they need Adrian Peterson to sort of take the pressure off the downfield passing game, but also to help Teddy Bridgewater out, who played pretty well last year. And now you can get by without having an all-star running back, but if they want him back and they're willing to sort of sweep it all under the rug, and people still seem to be Adrian Peterson fans in Minnesota, I don't understand what his end game is, because he's not going to get $13 million anywhere else.
No, he's absolutely not. And it's funny because he's being such a grouch. It's almost like, why would you want him back in the locker room? Why put up with that headache? But that being said, I think the only way the Vikings are going to get rid of him is if somebody's willing to offer a first round pick. The Cardinals might be throwing a second round pick at them, but they don't have a ton of money to throw his way either. So it's just like, and they're not going to cut him. The Vikings are not going to cut him. So it is, you have to wonder what his end game is here. But if I had to bet, though, I would say he's not playing for the Vikings this season.
I don't know where he's going to play. He's going to play for a lot less money. I mean, is there a team that's going to pay him $9 million a year?
I mean, if they can, he'd have to sign a 2 or 3 year deal so you can kind of split up his guaranteed money. But like the Cardinals pick what, at the bottom of the first round?
Yeah, I think so.
They must. if you're the Cardinals, they pick 24th. So if you're picking 24th and you've offered a second round pick, it's like, well, can you bump that up and just give away your first round pick and then you get Peterson?
I wouldn't trade a first or a second round pick for Adrian Peterson.
But you look at a team like the Cardinals, your quarterback's only got Carson Palmer has one, maybe two seasons left, if he can even make it through one season. And really, if that team had an Adrian Peterson in the backfield, I mean, that maybe they become a Super Bowl contender.
I don't think so. I think they said they weren't interested in him, but that doesn't mean anything. They just said it publicly. They could completely change their mind. I mean, the Browns would make the most sense in terms of giving. They could give up two of their first round picks for Adrian Peterson. And I would be like, yeah, I get that because it's the Browns. But in general, I don't know. The dude's 30. I don't think he's never been a locker room problem. So I don't think that's would suddenly become that. I don't think there's much in the way of sort of animosity outside the building in terms of people being upset that you sign him. Whether there should be or not, that's another conversation, but I don't sense that. I just don't know what his plan is. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up going back to Minnesota. You don't think so, though?
I mean, it just feels like he's burnt the bridge and it'd be awkward in the locker room. And I could
Have
see
you seen
Minnesota.
Ziggy Wolf's mustache? Is there anything more awkward than that?
No. There's not. But, you know, like Mike Zimmer doesn't have any connection to Adrian Peterson. You know, there's not like that emotional tie to the coaching staff or anything. So I think if somebody makes them any sort of enticing offer, they're going to dump them. So that's it. And if he is in Minnesota, I won't be shocked.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Huge news. Peyton Manning turned 39. That's insane. I mean, the dude's basically my age and he's still playing football. I think I could beat Peyton Manning in the foot race. I wonder if I could. That actually would be interesting. I mean, solely for me. No one else would care, but I'd like to think that I could beat him in a foot race. He's so lumbering and goofy looking. His head must weigh 50 pounds. I think that alone would give me the advantage. But anyway, you wrote about this. At Thoza NFL tweeted this at me and Brinson, and because we always make fun of Trent Richardson on the podcast. And he said, you can appreciate this. It was from NFL Memes. And let's see, how long was Richardson in Indianapolis? A year and change, almost 2 years?
Yeah.
And of course, Peyton was there from 98 to 2011 or whatever. But still, I mean, one's a running back and one's a quarterback who most people could beat running backwards. And the joke is, that's actually true, is that Peyton Manning's longest career run, 33 yards, is actually 1 yard longer than Trent Richardson. And that is, I mean, that pretty much encapsulates Trent Richardson's career, right?
Yeah. I was writing that and I was telling Brinson how I was going to have this highlight in Manning's birthday story about his 33-yard touchdown run from 2001. And Brinson's like, well, you have to mention that Trent Richardson's longest run is 32 yards. And that kind of blew my mind. So it's in there. It's included. And my mind's still blown that Peyton Manning's longest career run is longer than Trent Richardson's.
I don't know what's more amazing, that Peyton was able to run 33 yards without anybody touching him. Because I think you could put most players on their own goal line and put Peyton at the 33, and they would catch him before he got to the end zone. So that's amazing. But it's incomprehensible that Trent Richardson's longest run is 30. I mean, what happened to that guy? Let me ask you this, because we talked about it in the last podcast. More likely, Darren McFadden runs for 1,000 yards next year, or Trent Richardson does, and Darren's now in Dallas, Trent is now in Oakland?
Definitely Darren McFadden.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to give odds. What about this? 1,000 for Darren or 550 for Trent?
Oh, 550? Who's the running back in Oakland? Latavius Murray?
Yeah, he's the guy who beat out Darren last year.
Oh, Murray's going to get all the carry. You know what? Trent Richardson, 400.
400. Oh, my God.
Still there.
I still like Darren, I think. And Darren's going to get hurt every other week. So that's 8 games. There's a better chance he gets 1,000 yards than Trent Richardson. I don't know if Trent Richardson will even make it out of camp, to be honest with you. I don't know what happened to that guy. It's a crazy story. He was so awesome in college, better than Eddie Lacy, better than who came before him? Who was Alabama running back? Whoever it was. And now he's just like, he literally is like a tackling dummy and a wedge buster. It's weird.
I just, there's no explanation. It's one of the most inexplicable falls from grace in football, where you had just somebody with such a talent in college And then it's just like he doesn't even care anymore.
Maybe he's trying and he does care, which would be even sadder. And I say this all the time on the podcast. Ryan Grigson would have gotten fired if he didn't have Andrew Luck. Because he was the brains behind that deal, and he's made a lot of other deals that didn't really work out. But Andrew Luck sort of masks a lot of those mistakes, and we sort of give Grigson a pass, but not me, because I'm a hardcore journalist. All right, anything else we want to talk about?
They didn't pass any of the rules. I would have loved to see the 9-point touchdown pass. So it was too bad.
What was that? Yeah, what was that exactly? Because I sort of just glossed over all the crazy rules people were putting out there. Was that a Colts rule?
The Colts wanted to have the touchdown. If you get the 2-point conversion, then you can opt to try a 50-yard extra point that would add a third point to the 2-point conversion to make the touchdown worth 9 points total. I would have loved to have seen that. Would have spiced up the game.
Is there any way that wasn't Jim Irsay's idea?
And I was surprised that no one asked Jim Irsay how that idea came up. That would have been the first question I asked him at the owners' meetings.
He came up right before he got arrested with all those drugs in his car.
He probably wrote it down. He note to self, bring this up at the owners' meetings.
And he found it in his old jeans, his old skinny jeans the other day. He said, oh, Jesus, I forgot about this. This is genius. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's insane. Actually, Bill Belichick, the only time he sort of veered off message was when he was asked about the cameras on the goal line. John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants, said the other day that the NFL doesn't have the money. Presumably he said this with a straight face. They don't have the money for all the extra cameras that would be needed to put them in 32 or 31 stadiums, however many it is. And Belichick was like, yeah, I can't believe we don't have the money, but that's a super sad story. But yeah, so I mean, that's the sort of rule that makes sense, and it's not clear why the NFL isn't behind it. I guess the rule also that replay for penalties was told to beat it. I don't know why. I think the NFL said in the statement that or the competition committee said that replay isn't a panacea for everything. Fair enough. But I mean, it certainly would have helped the Lions in the playoff game against the Cowboys on that defensive holding or whatever they decided not to call. But yeah, so, next year we'll have to see what else Jim Irsay comes up with. Hopefully it'll top the 9-point play, which would have been, God, can you imagine?
I can't imagine. That's all I've been thinking about all week.
All right. Well, listen, I tell you what, right now I'm going to go watch some Con Air because I'm properly motivated. I suspect you'll be going to watch, what's that one about faces where your faces get ripped off?
Face off, face then off. The Rock, and then I'm going to have a National Treasure marathon.
By the way, the thing about Face Off, John Travolta is somehow weirder than Nick Cage in real life. So there's something to think about. At least I feel that way. Do you feel differently?
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. All right, John. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me doing your 4-hour marathon radio spot to make time for the Eye on Football podcast.
Always. You know what? I can always make time for this podcast if it's on. Oh, I really can't, actually. So you're lucky you landed me. Let's be honest.
Oh, by the way, and I always forget to mention this when I host the show. Please subscribe via iTunes. Typically, Brenton says he'll buy you a beer if you give us a nice rating on iTunes or subscribe to the podcast or leave a comment. I will not be buying you beer. I will buy you, orange cream soda because Southern gentleman. But more importantly, John Breach will buy you a Zima because I think you still have the last large stockade of Zima. Is that correct?
If we can't find Zima, then it will be Smirnoff Ice, but it's something will happen.
Something clear and something alcoholic. You know, the weirdest thing is we had a 13-year-old kid leave us a comment on iTunes and said, I can't have beer, but I love the podcast. So now I have to temper what I say about alcohol consumption because I don't want to turn a 13-year-old into an alcoholic. Or do
well, I? Well, if that kid starts telling his friends next week that dinosaurs don't exist because he heard on the podcast from Carl Everett, I'm going to be disappointed.
But he will have a Zima coming his way, so there's that.
That is true.
Zima, fair what's trade. Zima? Zima hasn't been around 10 years. The guy has no idea what Zima is. But anyway, all right, thanks, John. I appreciate it, as always, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk soon.